You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Limited time left. Are you ready to seize a unique investment opportunity that could save you in taxes for 2024 and help you secure your financial future? Goldman Sachs predicts oil to remain in the $70 to $100 range. So why not invest in the uptrend now? That's the sound of a producing oil well and the sound of a smart investment. If you are an SEC-accredited investor with at least $100,000 in liquid assets, you can take advantage of Encore Energy's exclusive projects and a significant tax write-off for 2024. But hurry, there's limited time left this year to benefit from the incredible tax incentive. Imagine nearly 100% of your investment being deductible for 2024. Don't miss out on this limited-time opportunity to create monthly income for up to 20 or more years to come. Call 800-287-6691 now and connect to a knowledgeable Encore Energy representative. Encore is a major investor and experienced operator in its core area of operations. Call Encore Energy now at 800-287-6691. That's 800-287-6691.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. You likely use it every day, your Visa debit card. The Justice Department filing a lawsuit alleging Visa locks out competitors by making exclusive agreements with banks and merchants. Attorney General Merrick Garland says then charging billions in fees.
We allege Visa is a monopolist in the debit transaction markets that is violating federal antitrust law and inflicting often hidden but significant harm on American consumers and businesses.
Visa has not commented. Ukraine's leader Volodymyr Zelensky addressing world leaders at the UN General Assembly, calling on members to hold Russia accountable.
Russia can only be forced into peace.
Earlier, President Biden delivered his final UN speech, mixed with urgency and optimism. He now says it's time for Israel and Hamas to finalize a Gaza ceasefire deal. Tropical storm Helene picking up steam and barreling toward Florida's Gulf Coast, expected to make landfall later this week. This is ABC News. Several people have been taken into custody after a so-called suicide pod was used to end an American woman's life in Switzerland.
Police say the space-age-looking suicide capsule was used at a forest hut. A statement from a Swiss-assisted dying group says a 64-year-old woman from the Midwest died using the device. The controversial procedure involves a person climbing into the capsule. An automated voice then says, "If you want to die, press the button." Poisonous nitrogen gas then fills the chamber. The individual purportedly suffocates within minutes. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
TikTok has removed accounts associated with Russian state media for engaging in what they call covert influence operations ahead of the U.S. presidential elections. Justice Department officials say while a recent hack by Iran targeted both presidential campaigns, Russia remains the primary threat to U.S. elections. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Good morning, Doctor.
Doctor?
Hi, Doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayland. A bomb threat clears out government buildings in Racine County Monday. The threat came in as an automated voice 911 call. It led to the county's courthouse and law enforcement center to be evacuated. Law enforcement swept both the buildings and they found nothing of concern. All county buildings and agencies are expected to return to normal operations today in Racine County. Criminal Investigations Bureau of the county's sheriff's office is investigating. A standoff in Muskego early Monday morning when police responded to a domestic altercation. Officers safely removed victims from a residence, but a 44-year-old man ignored officers' commands to exit the home. He barricaded himself in an upstairs bedroom. When law enforcement learned the suspect had access to multiple firearms, a tactical operations crew was called in to make contact with the suspect, who peacefully surrendered. No one was hurt in the incident. A new report from the FBI shows Americans lost a shocking $5 billion to scams involving cryptocurrency in 2023.
Wisconsin Consumer Protection Director Michelle Reinen says that's because scammers have moved to using crypto like Bitcoin to steal your money.
The Bitcoin ATMs popping up at convenience stores, gas stations, grocery stores, really trying to entice consumers, and scammers are using that as an opportunity. Go convert your money here, and then you can transfer it to me as part of the scam. It's not a federally regulated currency. It can be traced to a degree, but once that digital blockchain is handed off and it's exchanged internationally, it's gone.
Reinen says there is really no legitimate reason to own cryptocurrency rather than as a fun amusement, because you are unlikely to get your money back. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Let the hometown guys at Adams Super Service keep your vehicle's maintenance up to date. With SmartFlow from Adams Super Service, you will see what your vehicle needs, along with a detailed inspection emailed directly to you. Visit AdamsSuperService.com to schedule your appointment. Adams Super Service, your partner's network car care center, downtown Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and seasonal today, with high temperatures nearing 70 degrees. Another clear and crisp night on tap. And with patchy fog possible early tomorrow morning, it'll still be sunny and a warmer day with highs in the mid-70s. And we climb even warmer to close the rest of the week out. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Welcome in. Thank you for joining us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America. Always happy to have you along for the conversation about issues impacting rural America and farmers and ranchers. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up here on the show today in segment two, we are going to have a conversation with Bill Wirtz from the Consumer Choice Center. Been a while since we've had Bill on the show. We typically talk European ag issues with Bill. Well, we're going to focus a little bit more on U.S. politics for this conversation. Some thoughts of what a Trump administration could look like for farmers and things like that, and talking about the Democratic side as well. So we're going to go through some of this as we barrel down on Election Day with Bill Wirtz in segment two. In segment three, we'll have a conversation with Farm Progress policy editor Josh Bakey. Watching a lot of different ag news headlines, including news coming out Monday that former President Trump has said he would impose a 200% tariff on John Deere products coming from Mexico into the U.S. We're going to talk about that story and more coming up after the bottom of the hour. And we'll take a look at news headlines on the way in segment four as we're watching the funding battle on Capitol Hill to keep the government open by September 30th. No new farm bill yet, of course, with that extension deadline closing in next week on the 30th. So plenty of news headlines to take a look at. We'll do that at the end of our program today, brought to you by Cenex. Cenex trusted local experts. They can help you find the right lubricant product that'll protect your operation while you are busy with harvest season and more. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Let's kick off the program. We are starting the week with plenty of green on the screen across the grain and oilseed trade. Let's get some thoughts on that. Joining us now, Don Rose with U.S. Commodities. Don, good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jesse. Just doing fine. I hope you and all your listeners are also.
Don, I'm wondering here, are producers getting a little bit of a marketing gift here, so to speak? 2 days so far, or at least start of Tuesday anyway, with some real good strength in the grains and oil seeds, particularly in that soy complex, Don.
Yeah, you know, Jesse, I think when you look at it, you know, I think the bottom line is the market's rallied on soybeans $1.03 from the bottom. and you're moving up higher into harvest. We haven't really been challenged yet by harvest pressure. So, you know, I think the real question mark for the producer is, have we moved back to the top end of the trading range versus a market that's going to try and blow and move to the upside? We filled the gap on November beans at 10:45 and shot through it. Funds buying back positions, but no doubt for a producer that needs catch-up marketing, you're in that zone as we're a little bit stretched out technically on our soybeans particularly.
Wondering, I know there's been some major stimulus announcements from China, and of course, a lot of times when we talk U.S. exports of grain and commodities, we continue to talk China, and I know they've been shopping around and getting some more U.S. beans here as of late. Is some of that Chinese stimulus maybe playing a bit of a role here in this grain market surge to start the week?
Well, you know, I think, Jesse, it's one thing after another. I think the whole thing started, you know, bubbling a little bit with the tailwinds of the last week with the government signaled, the Fed, if you will, that we're in a new interest rate cycle, but this time lower. And, you know, that means that the funds were sellers when we started to raise interest rates, so maybe just the reverse. But like you alluded to, you know, that, then China, you know, is trying to stimulate their economy there. And so maybe some more buying coming at us. We had the ex-President Trump talking tough here yesterday that, listen, he's going to push China to get back to honoring their phase one deal. You know, and then we're dry droughty in northern Brazil. So I think it's one of those, the technicals turn positive, and then these fundamentals, as they often do, kind of bubble here. But we still have big supplies, big carryouts that you have to respect in soybeans particularly, and then corn to a lesser degree, and then wheat. So is this one of these markets that we're back at the top end of the trading range from the bottom and catch-up marketing, you know, you're looking at that overbought here maybe, Jesse?
Yeah, good thoughts, Don. It just feels like an opportunity here to get some risk management done if you got to get caught up on some of your sales. I know seasonality, you know, typically doesn't really start to kick in until after harvest here, you know, sometime in October. So things to watch there. In terms of the energies, I know crude oil's back up near $72 a barrel, got some of the Middle East tension. You look at the macros, you mentioned the Fed last week. Anything big picture on the outside markets you're watching that are having an influence, Don?
Well, you know, I think in the big picture of things, just like you alluded to, you know, China kind of with their economy turning around a bit or trying to signal that they're going to try and support their economy, you know, that was positive to the energy market. You know, the Fed lowering interest rates or saying that we're going to move into a new cycle of lower interest rates, that's fund buying, you know, signals. You know, and then it's the weather that we're watching. We're still in a dry drought pattern in the Black Sea on the wheat area. So I don't think it's so much that. I think it's that we probably were too low for producers, 375 national average to end the week last week on cash corn, 950 on soybeans. And I think with this inflationary environment, the producer just was not interested in selling. I think you'll probably see a pickup in selling as we move higher here, particularly on soybeans, Jesse. So, you know, on our systems, when you get a little stretched out, which we're at particularly on soybeans, you got to be a little bit careful and you have to watch some of this. We always say the news that is bearish, flip it around, it turns bullish. And that's kind of what's happened here in just a short window at the present time, Jesse.
Yeah, good thoughts, Don. You mentioned weather, too, and particularly in South America, in Brazil. I'm talking with some folks. Sounds like we're not sounding the alarm bells quite yet. It's still early for their planting season. Is that kind of your view right now, Don?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I think what you're alluding to is northern Brazil, central Brazil is in a dry, droughty pattern. Well, there's only the wet season and the dry season in Brazil. And northern Brazil, usually this time of year, they are dry, and then they wait till the first week, second week of October, for the monsoons to kick in and begin planting. They're about 9% planted in Brazil right now on soybeans. But in the big picture of things, Jesse, a La Nina is gaining momentum. What's that mean? What that means is we should flip around on that weather. That dry area in northern and central Brazil should go more to normal weather. The southern Brazil, Argentina should go dry, droughty. And I think, the Midwest should go into a drier, maybe even a droughty pattern. So it might be some of those long-term looks that we're trying to respect here a little bit too, Jesse, as La Nina no doubt's gaining momentum. And there's some people that believe we're in the big cycle where we're going to go dry in the Midwest next summer.
Always appreciate the insight. Folks can learn more at uscommodities.com. With that, Don Rose, U.S. Commodities in West Des Moines, Iowa. Don, good to talk with you again, sir. Thanks for being with us.
Yep, thanks, Jesse. Hope you and all your listeners have a great day. Goodbye.
Don Rose, U.S. Commodities with us here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Mitigate risk on the farm with Premium Diesel from Cenex. Visit Cenex.com for more. We'll talk with Bill Virts on the way next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in proven solutions. Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues, brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize your ROI. Protect your equipment and prepare for the unexpected with Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go online to Cenex.com for more information. Well, joining us now on the program as we take a big picture look at American politics and some of the impacts that could come out of the presidential election for farmers and ranchers. He's a senior policy analyst at the Consumer Choice Center. Bill Virts is with us here on the show today. Bill, it is great to have you back on with us. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Very well. How are you?
Hey, I am doing good. You know, it's a beautiful day today. And of course, we are watching a lot of different things going on that could impact agriculture here on the show. And in particular, presidential election here in the U.S. is barreling down on us. And there's been a little more chatter about farm policy, economic policy, things like that between the two candidates, former President Trump on the Republican side and Vice President Kamala Harris on the Democratic side. I know you recently had an article out for the American Spectator about how an RFK Trump union might not be good for farmers. Can you talk about that a little bit, Bill?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, RFK Jr., I think is probably a person that many farmers will be familiar with because he has very strong opinions on pesticides. I mean, in general, he says that we need to get the chemicals out of food, and he was a trial lawyer for many years in which he, in those class action lawsuits, like would sue a lot of these pesticides manufacturers, and he has very strong views on this, and he's now endorsed Donald Trump, and he says that officially there's no tit-for-tat kind of situation where he gets a position out of it, but I'm pretty sure he has his eyes on one specific one, and that is being head of the EPA, because that's what he tried in 2008 when President Obama tried to appoint him, and then he was ultimately removed because he had, well, pretty strong views back in those days as well. And I think this is likely what he will be going for, because they won't make him head of the CDC, but the EPA could be a possibility. And he's also previously said, when he was still running for president himself, that he would fill the EPA with activists. And what that means in practice is that somebody like RFK will take aim at a lot of the crop protection products that farmers need. I mean, famously, he thinks that atrazine turns the frogs gay. It's a stark contrast with the Trump administration that we saw for those 4 years when he was in office, because under Scott Pruitt, atrazine was essentially reauthorized. I mean, the EPA had set the maximum residue level so low that it was practically not usable, and that got changed. So I know this is an election campaign, and I look at this as an outsider perspective, and maybe I don't understand everything about it, but sort of this embrace of RFK, who thinks that everything is a big conspiracy, I don't understand how the potential voters for Donald Trump will understand where the consistency here is, like really understand what would be the ramifications of him coming into office and potentially appointing somebody like RFK.
It's very interesting, and I wonder when you start thinking about regulation, deregulation, things like that happening at the EPA, for instance. I know you do a lot of work with European policy, and of course, we've covered a lot of that on this show. Is there anything that you've maybe been able to take away from some of the different pesticide-type regulations, some of the different things happening in Europe that could maybe be similar things that could happen, say RFK is made the head of the EPA or something like that, or are they two completely opposite pieces of the spectrum here, Bill?
So this is interesting because RFK does mention Europe frequently, because he will say things like, oh, I mean, some of those products that I talk about have already been outlawed in the European Union. And that is true. But you also remember, Jesse, that we talked quite a fair bit about those farmer protests that we had in Europe for the last couple of months. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those have been triggered by the fact that toolbox available for farmers to protect their yields in Europe have been considerably reduced. In 2020, most sugar beet farmers were about to go bankrupt because neonicotinoids have been outlawed in the EU, and then the French government gave them a derogation. So we've had a lot of troubles with this, and there is a difference between EU regulation and American regulation in that sense, because our agencies essentially say the same thing about those pesticides. But then in Europe, politics comes in and then tries to get political points by banning some of them. In the US, largely regulators have been following the agencies because the agencies are trustworthy on the assessments that they make. But if you appoint someone like RFK who brings in a bunch of activists, then essentially you throw the entire concept of being able to trust your agencies on the scientific backing out the window. And that is incredibly damaging to the national conversation on those topics. And that would be incredibly damaging to American agriculture.
It's a very interesting perspective and thing to think about here as we barrel towards Election Day. We're talking with Bill Virts, Senior Policy Analyst with the Consumer Choice Center. I should ask, Bill, as well, on the Democratic side, with Kamala Harris, there hasn't been a whole lot I've seen in terms of ag policy, environmental policy, things like that. About the only thing was in terms of price controls at the grocery store. I mean, outside of that, have you really seen much else in terms of some of her policy initiatives for agriculture, Bill?
Not really, no. And I mean, Kamala Harris gets this criticism quite frequently that the policy proposals are a bit vague, and this is definitely one of those. I mean, ultimately, we do have to recognize that ultimately, the presidential election is about the functions that can be performed by the president. I think American voters often have gotten maybe a bit used to the president promising everything, including those things that should be done by Congress and should be debates that happen in Congress. I know the farm bills in the U.S. take a very long time because many of those legislators are not doing their job properly. I mean, the suggestion that she makes on caps on products that on the prices of products in the grocery store, we've tried that in Europe, and it's not a good idea at all. And because not only does it not really work for consumers, because you know if the retailers have to buy it for a higher price than the price cap is at, then what you end up is shortages. I remember when the French government put a price cap on hand sanitizer during COVID. I think it was about €8. And then the pharmacy said, yeah, but we have to buy it for 12. So we're just not going to sell hand sanitizer anymore. And economics price controls really don't work. But also it was devastating for farmers. And the reason farmers set the hay bales on fire and blocked major motorways is because these price controls that had been put through the government essentially meant that the farmers were getting the short end of the stick there. So when you interfere in something as complicated as pricing and grocery store prices, food prices, it gets very, very messy. And you can spend your way out of some of the problems you create with subsidies. But I don't think that's not a long-term economic and financial solution. And I don't really think that farmers want that either. I don't think farmers look at a situation where they become a dependent on sort of a subsidy welfare, a direct payment system because of the things messed up on the political world. I don't think that's what farmers want. Farmers want to be able to run a successful business without help or damaging regulation on top of what they do.
Well, there's a lot of unknowns in terms of farming and ag policy here, and a lot of questions that need to be asked and raised here as we move towards the presidential election. So wrapping up here today, Bill, we got about a minute and a half. Final thoughts from you as you examine this whole presidential landscape in the U.S. and in terms of farm and environmental policy. What do you want folks to really keep in mind as they get ready for Election Day?
Honestly, people who haven't made up their minds at this point, I'm not sure. The campaigning in the U.S. is so long. I would think most people have probably made up their minds already. But I think what people should ask of their of the people running for president or for local offices is get clarity on a lot of those policies, because I think a lot of politicians get away with platitudes, especially on agricultural policy. And what we really want is clarity, because we've heard all the platitudes. We want actual numbers. This is what you want to do. These are the products you would like to ban or regulate differently. I think that's important, is ask for clarity. I think journalists need to do their job on that. And I think as citizens, as voters, with all of our elected representatives, we need to ask for clarity.
Well, good thoughts. Appreciate the perspective. And I know folks can find more at consumerchoicecenter.org. And I know we'll be catching up again in the future on a multitude of issues, European agriculture issues, and much more with that. Senior Policy Analyst at the Consumer Choice Center, Bill Virts, thanks for being with us here on Agriculture of America today, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Avoid downtime with Cenex and protect your operation. Cenex greases have an enhanced additive package that provides better protection, allowing your equipment to stay in the field and on the road. Visit your nearest Cenex store. Go to Cenex.com for more information. We're going to talk some of the latest ag news headlines with Farm Progress Policy Editor Josh Bakey. He'll join us next here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Listening to Healthcare Your Way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October and November milk both down 48. October at 23.31, November 22.64, December down 42 to 21.36, January down 31 to 20.31. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets mostly higher on the day. Box beef prices were higher. The trade continued to extend the big buy-in into the markets, well above the 100-day moving averages. Now, cash trade, though, won't develop until Thursday or Friday. Hog markets, meanwhile, moved mostly higher as well, as demand will be a key point for the market moving forward. Pork cutout values were higher. There's also that USDA quarterly hogs and pigs report coming out Thursday. December live cattle up 57 cents to 184.40. October feeder cattle up $1.32 to 245.80. December hogs up 10 cents to 74.97. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets and wheat markets mostly lower. A little harvest pressure for the corn markets, wheat markets. Some of that Plains wheat planting for winter wheat continues. That was pressuring the wheat markets. Soybeans though mostly higher. Continued concerns about the dry weather in Brazil that could delay their soybean planting season. December corn down 1¾ to 4.11¾. November beans up 3.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA Today. Jesse Allen back with you. Our program brought to you by Cenex. Invest in premium diesel and get the most out of your equipment. Protect your bottom line with Cenex Premium Diesel. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, could we see a 200% tariff on John Deere products coming out of Mexico or other overseas locations into the U.S.? Well, that's the talk from former President Donald Trump. He said that at an event in Pennsylvania, among other things, on Monday. So let's talk about that and other headlines surrounding agriculture. Joining us now, policy editor for Farm Progress, Josh Bakey, is with us. Josh, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing good. Always good to be here, Jesse.
Well, I saw that headline come through late Monday, and I'm curious your thoughts. I saw that and I went, okay, 200% tariff on John Deere products coming out of Mexico, according to President Donald Trump. Obviously, we know there's been a lot of movement with Deere and Company here in recent months with layoffs and movement of some operations out of the U.S., things like that. So what exactly did President Trump say on Monday in regards to that potential of a tariff?
You know, it was a comment that kind of came out of nowhere. You know, he was at a campaign event in Smithton, Pennsylvania, southwest part of the state, has billed as a farmer roundtable. You know, pretty supportive crowd, Pennsylvania Republican lawmakers, a lot of farmer groups that support Trump. And, you know, as he was talking, he kind of looks back at his big John Deere tractor behind him on the stage, or right behind the stage, and he almost said, like, oh, this reminds me, I'm going to say that if they move jobs to Mexico or overseas, he would impose a 200% tariff on anything that they would import. He said he would do the same thing to any other company that moved goods over or moved production to other countries. You know, this year, Deere has announced several hundred layoffs in the Midwest. They also announced their moving some operations from the Midwest to Mexico. The company says that they need to outsource low-skilled jobs to maintain their high-skilled jobs here. So far, they haven't commented specifically on the president's comments. But, you know, as you know, the issue for many people is that, you know, while everybody wants to keep jobs in the country, most economists will say that imposing tariffs are not good for the consumer. Because, you know, if these tariffs are imposed on goods coming from Mexico, that price is going to be passed right along to them. You know, but obviously this isn't the first time Trump has talked about imposing tariffs. You'll recall in his time in office in previous term, he you know, imposed tariffs on China, resulting in you know, some back and forth there. And to kind of bail out the farm economy, he tapped into the Commodity Credit Corporation and gave literally billions of dollars to producer groups to offset some of those losses. He didn't say anything about having a plan to do that in this case. So, you know, we'll see where this goes, but it was definitely an unexpected comment.
Well, unexpected, no doubt. What was probably expected was some comments from President Trump at that same event in terms of China. You mentioned tariffs in China and things like that. I know he made some comments about trying to get China back to its phase one commitments, et cetera, et cetera. What was that all about, Josh?
Yeah, you know, he went in, he said nobody's negotiated for farmers like he has before. You know, he claimed that farmer groups had asked him to get a commitment from China to buy $15 billion of goods, and he himself somehow negotiated this to $50 billion. Now, the key thing is, you know, he announced this deal, like you said, back to phase one, I believe that was in 2019, and China's never publicly said if they agreed to this or not, but trade, ag exports to China have never gotten close to $50 billion. You know, the record last in 2022 was, I think, $38.1 billion. That dropped a little bit last year, $29.1. So, you know, $50 billion is a tremendous amount. You know, total exports last year were around $175 billion. So if you got $50 billion from China, that would be nearly a third of all ag exports. So, you know, it's a campaign year. He's, you know, trying to appeal to voters in swing states. So we'll see if this is a real policy or, you know, just a little bit of bluster here.
Yeah, well, it's definitely that time of year, watching the elections, of course, the November election barreling down on us here, a matter of weeks away. We're talking with Josh Bakey, policy editor at Farm Progress here today on AOA. Josh, another big issue, of course, is the Farm Bill. The 2018 extension, the one-year extension, is up next week on the 30th. Sounds like not a lot of movement on a new five-year farm bill, nor an extension quite yet as well on Capitol Hill. The big focus has been keeping the government open with a continuing resolution here, but no extension has been tied into this CR, it sounds like, Josh.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, that's actually partially due to the desire of the leaders in the Ag Committee. We saw a couple of weeks ago, Congressman Scott from Georgia, the ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee, you know, he and Chairman Thompson both seemingly indicated they did not want a short-term extension because they thought that would be counterproductive to getting a long-term bill passed. Speaker Johnson had proposed including it in the continuing resolution to keep the government running, and the ag leaders appear to be betting on pushing that out till after the election, and then using that time after the election and the end of the year to hopefully craft a new deal. Now, you know, I think as most people know, the Farm Bill will officially expire at the end of September, like you said, but really producers won't feel any effects unless we don't have a bill starting next year. And that's when you get, you know, some of these laws reverting to the 1930s and 1940s legislation, the so-called dairy cliff, like we've heard about. So the hope from lawmakers, at least what they're saying publicly, is that there's going to be a window negotiated in there where they can finally come to agreement. Now, the key thing is, while that sounds optimistic, from what I've heard, you know, there really hasn't been any movement in terms of people changing the position. The same divisions that have kept this bill from being passed for the last year and a half are still there. So, you know, while it sounds good that there's going to be a final push for a bill, you know, it's unclear what else has changed. And, you know, if we don't get a bill passed before the end of the year, you're probably looking at another extension. I've heard anywhere from a couple of months to some people say it might even be a whole other year, which is the last thing farmers want to hear. But and again, mm-hmm. It's kind of a lot of the same old there.
Well, and to that point as well, I've even heard the idea of a two-year extension of the 2018 Farm Bill floated out there in recent weeks. And there's been some talk of this ad hoc disaster type aid for farmers in lieu of getting a new farm bill done. I know Kansas Senator Jerry Moran making those comments last week at an ag forum in Kansas City. Senator Grassley's echoed some of that sentiment and others. So, I mean, to your point, Josh, it sounds like there's a few different ideas floating out there. It's just a matter of what exactly is going to stick here before the end of the year.
Yeah, and I think right now it's unclear if those ideas, you know, while popular within the lawmakers with large agriculture constituents, if that has enough support in Congress as a whole. You know, it sounds like, you know, last week Speaker Johnson had hoped to pass a 6-month continuing resolution that didn't pass. So now he's looking at kind of a bare bones 3-month extension with minimal add-ons to it, and I guess it remains to be seen if agriculture assistance will become a part of that.
Josh, another issue as well. We turn our attention to Colombia, and I know there's been some pushback from the dairy industry recently on some tariff announcements. Now, I just got this note in here just a few minutes ago that Colombia has reopened to U.S. beef after the H5N1 issues that we saw there, but no mention of anything with dairy in there. And I know that's something that the U.S. dairy industry very upset about. I think it was surrounding milk powder and other things, wasn't it, Josh?
Yeah, that's right. They announced a couple of weeks ago, or I guess it was last week, sorry, that they are imposing an additional 4.8% tariff on milk powder imports. Now, the argument from the Colombian side is that U.S. products, you know, due to dairy subsidies and other farm safety net programs, have an unfair advantage and harm their own economy. Now, what's interesting about this case is Colombian producers made the exact same argument a couple of years ago, brought it before the country's Minister of Trade. That Minister of Trade said, no, U.S. products are not hurting Colombian producers. But since then, we've had Colombia elected a more left-leaning government. And over the past 2 years, we've seen his popularity drop significantly. So a lot of people on the U.S. side think this is an attempt by him to, you know, boost his popularity by, instead of, you know, focusing on internal issues, blaming a foreign country for harming his economy. Interestingly enough, you know, he appointed a new Minister of Trade when he came into office, and then he turned around and brought the case, the government brought the case, which is very unusual, before his own Minister of Trade. And they ruled that there was a preliminary investigation. They ruled there was enough evidence to impose these 4.8% tariffs for at least 4 months, and the case remains ongoing. So, you know, if it finds that the U.S. is indeed in violation, as Colombia sees it, these tariffs could be in place for several years. And so this remains to be seen. You know, Colombia and the U.S. have a free trade agreement, and tariffs are actually scheduled to go down and zero out in a couple of years. Now, you know, with this going in, this pushes it right back up there. And Colombia has also made similar targets in the beef and poultry industry as well. So Colombia might be a small export market, but, you know, to dairy producers and the U.S. government, there is a desire to stop this from happening so that other countries don't follow suit.
It's always something going on out there when it comes to trade relations or government issues surrounding agriculture and more. Always appreciate the time and thoughts, and you can find more and read some of Josh's latest stories at farmprogress.com. With that, Farm Progress Policy Editor Josh Bakey, thanks for being with us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Always enjoy chatting with you.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, powered by Cenex Premium Diesel. Keep your operation moving and mitigate risk on the farm with Premium Diesel from Cenex. Visit your nearest store or go to cenex.com for more information. We'll take a roundup of Ag News headlines on the way next here on AOA.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs, while improving your farm's bottom line.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit. And make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's Z-Series Soybeans, Shelby Shea, Pioneer Soybean Product Marketing Manager. Shelby, let's start. What makes the new Z-Series product introduction so special to Pioneer and Corteva Agriscience?
Z-Series soybeans represents truly the next step forward for our soybean farmers. With a generational leap in both yield performance and agronomic performance over any soybean lineup Pioneer has ever introduced. 50 years of soybean research has led to the development of the new exciting Z-Series soybean lineup.
Well, Shelby, what makes Z-Series soybeans different than previous series?
Absolutely. So at Pioneer, we've been evolving on how we complete soybean plant breeding for over 50 years. So we've implemented the most advanced breeding analytics that we've ever used before. So in addition to deep understanding of our germplasm and being able to genotype, we're applying new ideas around both predictive analytics and new ways of phenotyping that enable us to collect and create better data sets from the things that we measure in the field, right? Think of things such as yield and disease resistance and agronomics. So improvements within these systems enhance our ability to determine what genetic combinations will produce the best outcome for our farmers. These types of advances have allowed us to vastly expand our breeding funnel and accelerate product development. Broad scale implementation across our breeding programs is what helped deliver a step change in both yield and performance from our Z-Series soybeans.
Shelby, how could growers learn more about Z-Series soybeans from Pioneer?
Yeah, talk to their local Pioneer representative or visit pioneer.com.
Once again, Shelby Shea with Pioneer. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jesse.
And again, learn more about Z-Series soybeans. Talk to your local Pioneer seed representative or visit pioneer.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA rolls on today, powered by Cenex. Cenex trusted local experts can help you find the right lubricant product that'll protect your equipment. Safeguard your equipment with premium lubricants from Cenex. Just go to your nearest location or Cenex.com for more information. Let's take a look at some of the latest ag news headlines, and there won't be a government shutdown when the new fiscal year starts next Tuesday, but the latest GOP stopgap funding proposal, it comes up short for farmers. House Speaker Mike Johnson's put forth a three-month bare-bones stopgap continuing budget resolution agreed to by Hill Democrats and President Biden after the defeat of an earlier controversial version. The new bill still extends WIC, ag credit insurance, rural housing, and livestock mandatory reporting, but again lacks a one-year farm bill extension and has no rumored temporary farm relief. American Farm Bureau's Emily Buckman says
there is no additional assistance in their direct support, I should say, for farmers and ranchers. You may have seen that last week AFBF and every state farm bureau joined together to sign and send a letter to Congress urging for an updated farm bill alongside economic disaster assistance for farmers and ranchers.
Now, temporary farm aid amid falling prices was raised by Kansas Senator Jerry Moran recently and amplified by Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley.
I'm glad to hear Moran speaking up on this subject. You've heard me speak up on it. It's to make sure that the 2018 prices for PLC and ARC are updated.
Now, Grassley says Moran's focus reflects six-year-old support levels that are still too low to trigger and don't offset today's much higher input costs. Another Kansan, Senator Roger Marshall, complained in June.
What the Democrats have offered us does not take care of crop insurance. It doesn't take care of reference prices. It has too many guardrails around the conservation programs.
But the new CR, expected to pass swiftly this week, buys more time in a lame duck session to try to settle farm bill differences and do full year agency spending bills. But much will depend on the outcome of the November elections. Well, in partnership with the National Cotton Council, USDA is piloting a program for the 24-25 cotton crop that will allow bales to be shipped in four bale groupings that use averaged quality data. Angie Snyder, Deputy Administrator of the Cotton and Tobacco Program in USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service, explains the idea.
We've been working with the National Cotton Council's Joint Fungibility Working Group for some time, and we've run studies at the National Cotton Council's behest. The resulting pilot is truly a joint effort between the Cotton Council and USDA. We announced a four-bale module averaging pilot for the 2024-2025 cotton season, and the pilot aims to facilitate the industry in improving the efficiency in shipping cotton. We have been module averaging since 1991. Traditional module averaging averages the quality factors of micronair, length, strength, and uniformity.
And she talks about the new pilot program.
The four bale module averaging, if the four bales have the exact same color and leaf grade, then we will average the remaining characteristics. And if they meet tolerances, then all four bales will carry the same official USDA quality data. I'd love to add that this pilot is an example of USDA working with industry to find innovative solutions to strengthen the supply chain and create better markets for producers, for ginners, for warehousemen, for spinners, for shippers, for everyone in the marketplace.
And again, that is comments with Angie Snyder from USDA's Cotton and Tobacco Program at the USDA Agricultural Marketing Service. Well, the 2024 growing season has been a challenging one and a stressful one for many wheat growers across the country. And adding to the typical stress that farmers face is that lack of a farm bill, which is, again, months overdue. Michelle Hennings, executive director of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers, says, between the high cost of fuel, equipment, repairs, and fertilizer, it's going to be a difficult year for producers.
Probably some of them will have to sell at this price. There will be some that have some crop insurance to help. And that's how I cannot stress enough how important crop insurance is to farmers at this time. There's just a lot of concern for farmers out there. And, you know, we're hoping that, you know, state and nationally, they recognize this.
Now, Hennings adds the multiple pressures of this growing season stress the importance of a farm bill that addresses the needs and concerns of producers.
We are hearing there could potentially be an extension, but we have been over in D.C. really urging that we need to get a farm bill done. That is important for farmers' risk. And we need an improved farm bill where it can trigger, you know, when they need it. So we know that the House and the Senate are working hard over there in D.C. It's just whether that we can get Congress to move on the farm bill or not.
And Hennings adds, when it comes to the quality of this year's wheat crop, it truly varies from farm to farm, operation to operation. She noted that many of the winter wheat growers enjoyed a good to average 2024 crop, while the spring wheat crop was below average in some areas, especially in the Pacific Northwest. Again, that's comments with Michelle Hennings from the Washington Association of Wheat Growers. And real quick here, with the Colombian government recently lifting its ban on U.S. beef originating from states in which H5N1 was detected in dairy cows, the export library for Colombia has been updated to reflect restored access for beef from 13 states, according to U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom. Dan Hallstrom made a statement. He said, quote, on behalf of USMEF's membership, I want to thank the U.S. government and especially the teams at the USDA Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, Foreign Ag Service, and Food Safety and Inspection Service involved in the effort to restore full access for U.S. beef shipments to Colombia. He adds that the USDA staff posted in Bogota, in particular, worked tirelessly to get these restrictions lifted. And we are also grateful to Colombian importers and customers who remained loyal to U.S. beef during this difficult time and who voiced their concerns to the Colombian government about the interruption in trade. Well, with that, we are out of time here today on AOA. That's a look at Ag News headlines. Our program brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts at Cenex. Visit your nearest store or go to Cenex.com for more information. Thanks for joining us here for AOA. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Most folks just stick with the diesel engine oil they know, because why sweat the details? But you don't. You're one of those who'd make the switch, and we're talking to you. Cenex Maxtron synthetic diesel engine oils give you the smartest oil for the toughest conditions. While the others experience wear and tear, you give complacency a kick in the pants. Cenex Maxtron diesel engine oils. Oil that runs smart.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you helped.
Philo's got a world of entertainment for you to explore with just one subscription. Sign up today and start watching all the networks you love, like A&E, MTV, Discovery, VH1, TLC, Lifetime, Hallmark Channel, and so much more. Featuring current seasons of all the best drama, true crime, reality, and family-friendly shows you can't afford to miss. And with up to three streams at once, you'll never have to fight about what to watch. Get started today and unlock our library of over 75,000.